Welcome to Da Beat here on KSPC Claremont 88.7 FM. On today's show, we will feature interviews with Charlie of the art group Ink Bombers, as well as Lex, one of the founders of Cali Irons. We'll also hear an in-studio performance by Inland Empire shoegaze band Crisis Arm. The Ink Bombers are a group that produce original art and design, which can be seen on murals, in art galleries, as well as online at inkbombers.com. Their next show, 90s Tune Takeover, is taking place at the Da Center for the Arts in downtown Pomona, and the opening reception will be July 13th from 5 to 9 p.m. Here's Charlie telling us more.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Ink Bombers and how you came up with the idea?
The Ink Bombers started, there's three of us that are all business partners, and pretty much growing up, we've all been involved with art. So my business partner, he goes by the name AR, mm-hmm. he's the one who came up with the whole logo and idea. Mm-hmm. And the reason he did that was because he was trying to come up with an identity, like identity for his tattoo, because mm-hmm. he does tattoos, and his name's Danny, so you think Danny's tattoos, how many are there? There's like a billion of them.
Yeah.
So he ended up doing something like this, the bomb logo, which is like a bomb covered with a circle. Mm-hmm. And he's been using that for a while, and people started picking up on it that it was a pretty good logo and he liked it and everything. And then I knew him back in high school. Mm-hmm. I was a senior and he was a freshman, so I was on the way out, he's on the way in. And I lost contact with him because I went to art school. And so eventually I ran into him and he told me about his idea, and I was intrigued, and I said, okay, let's run with it, see what we can do with it. So we've been doing art since 2009.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. And then you also have a third partner?
Yeah, our third partner, he goes by the name Rastcopticon. And I actually met him back in 2000. And he was heavily involved in the graffiti scene. So mm-hmm. was I. We used mm-hmm. to paint. And one time he took us to paint one of his I guess like a, he calls it his layup, would be like his train yard. Mm-hmm. And so I met him there once, and, you know, I painted with him, and then after that, we just lost contact with him. So about 2010, AR was tattooing one of his cousins, and he told him about it, and then pretty soon he came by, and pretty soon we just clicked and started mm-hmm. making things going.
Cool. Yeah. What kind of, you do art shows, but you also do other, like I saw on your website, you also do murals and things like that? Mm-hmm. Or you've done murals in the past. What kind of works do you guys do? Or do you target your work to a specific?
No, the work, it just comes with whoever asks us. Sometimes we get like job offers. Like we recently did one for the Boys and Girls Club in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. And that job was passed over to us from one of our contacts in Sprite. Mm-hmm. They wanted a mural done. Mm-hmm. So we went through the ropes and pretty much negotiated drawings back and forth. We thought it was going to come. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to pass. But we got word one day, just, you know, we got the green light. Here's a deposit to go buy the paint. And then we went down to Santa Barbara and finished it off in one day. So cool. That was like one of the really cool projects, because it was for the kids that they're in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. But they just got a whole new basketball court. And they loved it. They were just watching us paint. So yeah. It was really cool.
Had you done murals before?
Yeah, we usually do murals here and there when we'll get like a permission spot. Like we'll ask like a business owner, like, yeah, do we have permission to paint your wall? We'll do a mm-hmm. mural on it. And usually most of the time they're like, yeah, go for it. So we do it that way, yeah.
That's a lot different than graffiti, right?
Yeah. The graffiti thing
kind
is,
of
yeah,
maybe but one evolved from the other a little bit.
Yeah, the graffiti thing is just all illegal, all, you know, behind the scenes at night.
Yeah.
Stay up all night, get chased by the cops, so that's a whole different thing. I like this one better.
Yeah.
You sleep at night, yeah.
That's good. So, do you guys have other artists that also work with you?
Yeah, there's three of us that are the owners, and we also have about maybe five or six who we know them really good. They're our close friends. And they join up with us when we do the art shows, mm-hmm. or when we get a job. Like sometimes we'll get a job for a website, mm-hmm. And we don't have the experience doing websites, so we'll pass it to one of our artists, and he does the job, and we kind of like share work between us, and we kind of like help each other, especially when it comes to the art shows. That's when we all come together and put on these displays of art.
Yeah, so what's this art show's like? Does it's like has a theme?
All our shows have themes, and this one is based on the 90s cartoons. So that's like Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, Powerpuff Girls, anything you remember watching growing up, yeah. So yeah, we like to do the themes and take the characters and kind of like twist them up our own unique way, just to make them look different than the way you wouldn't even think to see them. So that's our whole drive.
And what I get are you how did you guys choose that theme?
We usually go by popularity. We've done other shows where we've done like Nintendo theme, Halloween, we've done Disney, and they're all based on what we can kind of like get the most fan reaction out of. People can relate to it. So this is why we did the 90s cartoons, because everybody remembers DuckTales. Everybody remembers Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck and all these cartoons, so.
Cool. And what are the, so are they mostly paint or drawn, or how do you guys, or
Well,
how are you presenting them?
the majority of are gonna be paintings on canvas or panels that we can hang on the wall. But from our past couple of shows, we started expanding, and we're having more sculptures. More people do sculptures. We have professionals that work for Disney and DreamWorks gonna be part of our shows and gonna actually showcase something cool and unique that they've done. So it's cool. It's really exciting.
Yeah, so it's all, aside from the your like core group, you found other artists to participate in this show?
Yeah, we usually get spread the word. We'll invite artists. We first invite artists that we've known with that we've worked with in the past, and then from there they say, "Oh, can I bring my friend here? He knows how to paint too." Sure, bring him along. We really don't discriminate against the artists or about what they paint. We just ask that they put forth their best effort for these shows. That's why they get good, and you get a lot of people putting their effort and spreading their word to their friends, and yeah, that's how the shows they grow, they explode, and they get more popular.
Cool. And so could you, the opening is on the 13th?
Yeah, it's Saturday, July 13th at the Daw Center for the Arts in Pomona.
So are most of the artists that are showing, are they like people that have done art in the past and are like showing artists, or are they like just 'cause you guys do also like more like design type things, do you have mostly like people that consider themselves fine artists or like a variety of
It's a variety because we have artists that just do focus on paintings. There's some that just do sculptures. We have artists that have done shows before, and we have artists that have never done a show before. This is actually the first one, and they're really excited. So, yeah.
So then do you kind of like work together to come up with an idea, or they just submit something to you and you guys include it in the show?
Usually, we take a look at what they've done in the past. Like if it's their first show, usually on Facebook they post all the work that they're doing, and it's really like we take a look at it and say like, okay, this will be cool. So we kind of have an idea of what they're gonna do, like where their range is, and we just encourage them to go all out. Cause I don't like to kind of tell people, oh, this you can only do this or you can only do that, because then they kind of get afraid and they don't want to do it. They might back out at the last minute. So we just say, yeah, go to town, see what you can give us, and that gives them more of an incentive to do something, beyond what they're used to. Yeah, a good return on there. Yeah,
That's
and
all.
peace.
Yeah, and just like for their time and stuff, and that's I've been to the Daw and seen people that are showing for the first time, and they're just so excited just to see their stuff on the wall. So it's always like really nice to experience because you can feel like the energy when they're there and they're like
Yeah,
they're
especially
with their friends
it's their
and
first
stuff.
show. Yeah, when it's their first show, they got so much energy and so much enthusiasm for their show. And just to show their piece, along with like artists who've been doing it for a while, and they're just so excited. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. What's like the how many artists are gonna be, do you know how many artists are gonna be in the show?
It's more than 50. I'm gonna say like around 50. Our first show, we had about 10 artists, 10, 11 artists on our flyer.
Are most of your works and like the shows, are they like drawing from pop cult, like existing pop culture? Because it seems like a lot of them are like recognizable characters and stuff like that,
Yeah,
right?
we try to go for the whole nostalgia thing to get people to recognize it. So when they see the character, they're like, "Oh, I remember that. I remember that character. I wanna have that one in my house. I wanna be able to take a look at him anytime I want because he looks so different." So yeah, we try to use a lot of existing characters. We don't always, but for our show, for our theme shows, yeah, we do.
Is that what you're drawn to in art when you go see other art that you like like recognize something about it or
No, that's just something that works for us. Yeah, it's something that works for us. So we do the characters just to get to spread the word on our group and all that, just to get people more involved. Because when people see like a character that they know, they're like, oh, you know, they fall in love with it, and hopefully they'll buy the piece. Hopefully.
Have you been able to, like, are you guys supporting yourself just doing this, or are you?
Yeah, that's us. We don't hold 9-to-5 jobs. That's it. We work pretty much all day, every day, just making art and selling it, and that's what we live off of. We're always learning. We're always
So
expanding
do you
on that.
usually, are you a painter?
Yeah, I'm actually. I went to school, and I studied design. That was my main focus. And the art side, the painting, and all that stuff. I've been doing it for a while now, but I never did it professionally. I never made money off it. I just did a painting, and then I'd give it away to a family member or something. So I never made money off of it until I got with the Ink Bombers.
So you said it was design artwork. Is that what you consider most of the, or like, is that what you would call the things that you make as design artwork rather than just design or just artwork?
I think for myself personally, yeah, I think it's more design work. I know the other artists, they'll say, no, we're just artists, we're just fine artists, or we're just, you know, whatever they are. But for me, I think it's design work, because even if you do a painting on whatever it is, you have to design it in a way to make it appealing. You can't just drop the character in the center and be like, oh, here it is, done. He's gotta have some kind of movement, some kind of action. He's gotta. And with the painting, you got to be able to keep your eye moving, but not moving it off the painting or the piece. You got to like
I guess
keep it
just like
centered.
the composition of
Yeah,
it.
the combination of it. You got to keep your viewer involved, so that way they don't lose interest in.
Where do you hope to go from here? Like, do you hope the group continues to do art shows, or do, are you guys trying to focus more specifically on like doing like work for like other companies versus doing your like art shows, or you think you can strike a balance between those two, or?
I think we can strike a balance. We have, you know, we do. We were doing for a time. We were doing 2 shows a year, every 5 months, and now we're getting to the point where we're gonna do 1 show a year, and that way we can get like more space to do more work for like more murals, more photo shoots, more whatever opportunities come our way.
Do you guys have like a certain aesthetic that you're trying to put forward, or?
I'm not sure about the est I don't know. We're just having fun with it. We're just taking it one step at a time.
Cool. Where can people find out more about your group?
Well, we have our website, inkbombers.com, and that's got a bunch of our old pictures on there. We also have a Facebook page on Ink Bombers, and right there is where we post a lot of the new information. That's where you can get information about our shows and the stuff we're up to. And then we also have an Instagram, which is @ink_bombers. That's where we post more pictures there too. So those are the three best ways to get a hold of us.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Charlie of the Ink Bombers. The Ink Bombers will be presenting their show, 90s Tune Takeover, this month at the Zaw Center for the Arts, located at 252D South Main Street in Pomona. The opening reception is Saturday, July 13th from 5 till 9 p.m. You're tuned in to Dobby, an arts roundup show promoting the art, music, and people that contribute to the Daw Center for the Arts and the larger Pomona community. Up next, you'll hear an interview with Crisis Arm. Recordings from the in-studio are posted on our blog at kspc.org/blog.
Yeah, maybe. Fruits!
Fruits!
Vegetables.
Vegetables.
Art.
Art.
Crafts.
Crafts.
It's all available at the Claremont Farmers Market.
Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 2nd Street between Yale and Indian Hill.
Support local farmers and enjoy fresh, organic produce.
For more information, please call manager Oscar DeLeon at 714-345-3087.
All right. So do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Kevin.
And you play drums.
Oh, I play drums, yeah.
I'm Patrick. I do guitar and vocals, I guess.
I'm Karen, and I play guitar and also do vocals.
And then collectively, you are?
Crisis Arm.
Cool. And thanks so much for coming and playing here.
Yeah, that was fun.
super awesome.
So what do you guys, when did you first start playing together?
It was just me and Pat. It was like a two-piece. It was actually a lot different sounding, too. But I think in 09, like I've known him since middle school, and I moved up to San Francisco for art school, and then I really got back into the music scene up there. And when I moved back, I hit him up and said, hey, we should just start jamming and messing around. And it actually turned into like writing and being serious about it. And so we just picked it up from there. And then me and him just kept it going for like, I don't know, like maybe like a year. And then I met Cameron in college, and she started hanging out more and got interested and taught her guitar.
And like 2011?
Yeah, like our first show with her was in, yeah, like September 2011.
Awesome. And then could you tell me a little bit about your songwriting process?
Well, basically, I'll just, like, hear something in my head a lot at work.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is how my songs go, because Pat writes songs too, but like, when I'll hear something in my head, and I'll just think about it all week, and then I'll get home and I'll write some rhythm guitar around it, and then I teach it to Pat, and then I teach him like a kind of like the scratch melody of what I have, and it kind of takes shape from there. I write drums to him, and then Cameron comes in and she writes her guitar part, and then they go over the vocals together to make them sound a little more cohesive.
Or try to.
Yeah. Or try to.
We're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But
what do you mean, like the lyrics to the music?
The lyrics are mostly Pat.
But you're saying to make them sound cohesive,
like well, because sometimes
harmonizing
their melodies are like the sometimes they get off, like they're very different because she'll be playing too.
A lot of the time, I'll like kind of shape the vocal melody around the lead that I'm playing, so it tends to change from like the original vocal melody that Kevin will write or that Pat will have, you know,
uh-huh.
And then we'll have to go over it again together and like refine it.
Yeah, a lot of refining. It's mostly just a lot of refining the whole thing. It's just like, oh, this sounds good.
A lot of refining and frustration and yelling at each other.
Oh, yeah. Because we all live together, so it's like...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. It's like cool. It's a cool, roomy group project.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds awesome. And where do you, I guess, are there like specific bands or artists or anything that you're influenced by? Or
there's quite a few.
Or that you're trying to channel or I don't
no.
know.
Well, I mean, we listen to a lot of stuff. Like recently, it's been a lot of... our friends and yeah, just being involved in like the DIY community, just meeting a lot of bands who are really awesome and a lot of people who are just really good at what they do. And
we help run a venue in Marietta, California called The Dial, and there's a lot of really good bands that come through there, and I feel like it's really opened up our minds when it comes to music, because there's so many good local bands.
Yeah.
And other bands that just come through and play that you would have never heard of otherwise.
Yeah. Could you like talk a little bit about The Dial or what kind of events go on there?
Yeah, it is a nonprofit art space. And lately we've been doing mostly shows. And it's pretty open to where we can pretty much book it. Like if a touring band hits us up or something and says, you know, hey, I need a show for this date, you know, we can set it up so that they have a show there, and, you know, some local bands will hop on the bill or other bands. And there's, for a while, there was a show there almost every night.
That's awesome. So you guys help with that a lot?
Yeah.
Not as much anymore. We got more involved with doing our own projects, and we do like... Someone's phone go off.
We do set live sessions there too, yeah. Where we'll have bands come in and we'll do live recordings of them, and we videotape
them.
It as well.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome!
And we'll post them up on
YouTube.
Online.
Yeah, we kind of started out like a small record label, I guess. Like we put out tapes, and now we're doing vinyl, I guess.
Yeah, for the ones that come out really well, we'll put them out on cassette, or people will hit us up too and ask them to put out their albums on cassette.
We're not as much. The Dial. Yeah, well, kind of. It's like the people who work at the Dial, like our friends, we all kind of got together and developed that. And
that section is called Not Punk Records.
Yeah, it's Not Punk Records, and it's taken off actually. But we're not as involved with that process anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We started with it, and then my friend took it over because he's, you know, that's what he's into, and mm-hmm. He likes to put out releases and then go on tour with bands, and that's what he does mainly. And we got more involved with like the sessions, and now we're just mostly involved with what we're doing as a band. So we're kind of like, I think we're like branching off a little bit. Like mm-hmm. we'll still do that, but not as much, not as yeah. often.
And then can people find your stuff online somewhere?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. We have a Bandcamp. We actually just finished an album. It's called Caterwaul. Nobody's put it out yet. Like, we kind of did a self-released on Not Punk Records, like 50 tapes for tour, and it's up on YouTube. You can only find it on YouTube. It's it's weird. But it's not officially released yet. We're just hit up with my friend Sam Woods for Family Time Records, and he said he's gonna be putting that on tape for us, like a re-release.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our best music to date. Like, I could probably give people MP3s if they hit me up about it on our Facebook or whatever, but it's the best one. And all the rest of the stuff is free on Bandcamp, and we have like tapes you can buy on there.
Just crisisarm.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah. That was not as awkward as I thought I was going to be.
That is nerve wracking.
I just lose the ability to speak fluently.
Yeah, that was good.
Tune in to KSPC 88.7 FM Claremont on Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. for Underground with Susie.
KSPC, the station that even lets five-year-olds rock out.
Hi, Mom, it's me.
The final interview on today's show is with Lex of the company Cali Irons, who has recruited tattoo artists to contribute artwork including paintings, drawings, and sculpture to the show Wheels of Steel. Did you do any of your own tattoos?
I did one on my chest.
Well, really?
Actually, my collarbone.
How did you do that?
Looking in the mirror.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It does.
I think I actually did this one too. I filled it in.
Oh yeah?
And I'm actually right-handed. I was doing it with my left.
Oh my gosh. So did you come up, were you like the organizer for the show and like, I guess like the curator, like you chose the artists that were going to show?
Yeah, it's for my company called Cali Irons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fabrication company. We do metal work.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is we make these armrests. They're called tattoo armrests.
Uh-huh.
And they're based on the floor, and you put your arm on them or your leg mm-hmm. or any part of the body that you can use it for. And we customize them a lot, you know, with different types of material and fabric.
When did you start this company?
About a year ago, just a little over a year.
Oh, cool.
We've been doing really well with it.
Is this your guys' first gallery art show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we did it to promote the company and just to get involved more with the tattoo industry and
mm-hmm.
help the artist out, you know.
Yeah.
Show a different side of tattooing, the artist abilities, you know, like painting, sculpting. Uh-huh. You know, it's pretty much based around steel wheels and ink. So steel would be the steel company, wheels pertaining to cars, you know, mm-hmm. bikes.
Because you guys do that also.
Yeah, my partner builds hot rods and motorcycles and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And the ink would be tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
So
is that kind of like a requirement for all the artists that are in the show that they have to start with this piece of steel?
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be done on a piece of steel that we provided.
Okay.
And, you know, within those guidelines, like I said, anything with steel, wheels, or ink, that's broad.
So. Yeah. It seemed like, I don't know, I think I was looking at the Facebook earlier, and some people did, like, sculpture, too. Like, it looked like there was something where someone had cut, maybe, I don't know, it looked like it was, like, a cutout, some pieces of cutout steel or something. I don't know, are people, like, just using it as a 2D surface, or are people, like, bending and breaking it, too?
Yeah, people are doing all kinds of, like, this one right here, that's mm-hmm. mine, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, that's, yeah, I think that's the one that I was, about. Yeah, that's the one yeah, I was talking about.
It's a chain link steering wheel.
Oh,
and then
cool.
I mean, there's wings.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to cut out. And I'm going to paint it. Like,
awesome.
Like that's a really hot cool. rod or low rider car.
So you're an artist?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah, I'm a tattoo artist and a fabricator.
And how is that what, like, kind of drove you to start this company? Or?
No, it was more of a, like, artistic thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt that I could make a better armrest.
Yeah.
So, and then went with style and color, and
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's what I did. And I started in my garage with a little welder, you know, just making one for the guys I work with.
Yeah.
You know, I got some good feedback from it. And, you know, so I made a few more. Everybody liked them, and ended up working at this one other shop where I met my partner, and he's not a tattoo artist, but he's a piercer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making armrests. So I went to his shop and started doing it, you know. I had access to bigger tools and a lot
mm-hmm.
more equipment. And from there, we just kind of said, why don't we team up, you know, instead of trying to compete against each other, let's see what we can do. So we came up with Cali Irons. And that's where he started doing armrest.
Mm-hmm.
The first show we did was in Costa Mesa, like a tattoo conventions. And that was our first show, and we got a lot of good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Do you tattoo, like do people come in and ask for tattoos from you, or mostly just, like, people you know that you would tattoo?
It's more of a clientele. You get walk-ins also, but, you know, after doing it for a long time, you build a clientele. And
so you have a shop?
Like I work at a shop.
Oh, you work at a shop.
Yeah, I don't own one.
And when did you first, like, when did you first get a tattoo?
When I was 18, yeah.
Yeah?
It's funny because of... The first tattoo I got at the shop, I actually ended up working there, like, I think 10 years later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's
cool.
That's crazy. And, how, like, what drew you, I guess, to, like, because it seems like there's, like, a pretty big culture surrounding, like, tattoos and just, like,
yeah.
tattoo shops and the community and, like, I guess, like, motor, like, I guess, like, a lot of, like, motorcyclists
yeah,
also. And it's
yeah,
just,
it ties
like,
in with the, like, the car scene a lot, the low
mm-hmm.
rider scene, the hot rod scene, the bike scene.
Yeah.
A lot of it ties in together really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what our show's based on, too, so.
It's like the connection between all
mm-hmm.
those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you find the people, or like the artists that you worked with or that are contributing to the show?
Some of them we did business with already. They have our armrest.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them we're good friends with. Some are just referrals, you know, people that want to get into the show. Some are, you know, they're friends with the people we've done business with, and or they work at the shops.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you find, like, that a lot of the tattoo artists that you work with, like, do other type of art? Or
yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
how
do you think, like, does it come usually that they start doing tattoos and then they do other types of art, or they do other types of art and then they're drawn to tattoos?
Usually
or
they get into tattooing because of other artwork that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tattooing is more of a secondary thing for them, where like some people start off airbrushing, painting, painting cars, building cars and bikes. And mm-hmm. It's an avenue for them into tattooing. So.
Mm-hmm. And how
some people even come from colleges. A lot of these artists come out of colleges,
like art schools.
Yeah, art schools, and they have degrees in art.
Yeah. So. Do you think are most of the artists that are showing, is this like their first time showing in a gallery, or are they like used to doing it?
Yeah, they're used to it. They always have art shows. There's always little art shows going on within at the tattoo community. So.
Mm-hmm. And where do those usually take place?
Tattoo shops, bars, coffee shops, any type of venue that, if you can put paintings on the wall, then
mm-hmm.
that's where it's at.
Yeah.
You don't really see them in big galleries like this, or a gallery like the DA.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring something different. I wanted to kind of take it in the gallery.
Yeah, it's going to be like a somewhat different environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people told me, like in downtown Pomona, well, not a lot, but some artists, some business owners around there, they were kind of surprised that I was able to get this type of artwork into the DA gallery.
You think so, yeah.
That's what they were telling me.
They haven't done anything like that before.
Margaret was saying, like, real edgy in her view and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What do you hope, like, the average person going into the gallery gets out of this show?
Just a unique experience, They get to see a different side of a tattoo artist and
mm-hmm.
See all the different skills everybody has as far as constructing stuff, different mediums that they work with. Just a cool art show.
Yeah. Do you know, or is anyone using, their tattoo guns or, any... I guess people were drilling into it kind of in that way, but are people using ink, tattoo ink in any way?
There might be some people. I don't know yet. There's been an assortment of stuff, like some of the stuff I showed you.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, he's engraving his whole panel.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be interesting to see.
That's so cool. I'm
trying to think, what else is everybody doing?
Yeah.
See, I don't even know what everybody's doing. I got an idea of what everyone's doing, but not completely.
Mm-hmm. So. I think it's going to be really cool because everyone's already so technically skilled in mm-hmm. tattooing or some type of art that I think it'll just look really, really pretty.
Yeah, because usually the shows that they do have are the medium is canvas and oil or canvas and acrylic.
Mm-hmm.
So having a piece of metal, it's giving them... it's kind of giving them more more materials to use on their piece.
Yeah, there's a lot more possibilities mm-hmm. to it.
And you can still use the oils and the acrylics, but you can also, calmer metal, weld it, etch it, drill it, can't think of anything else anybody's doing.
Well, there'll be a lot to see, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Once you go in.
Because some of the guys, even that are in the show, they build tattoo machines, so they're used to working with metal. So this is going to give them that opportunity to show off.
Oh, really? They make their own tattoo guns.
Yeah.
And why do they why do they do that?
Just something for them to do, an interest they got, and they build them.
Mm-hmm. Does it just alter the speed or more personalized?
Yeah, personalizing machines and the way they build them. Some people like things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another thing.
Have you built your own tattoo guns?
I haven't.
No.
Mm-hmm. I think I want to. I think I'm one of these days I am. I understand them really well,
mm-hmm.
but I've never actually built one.
Yeah. Are you guys going to incorporate tattooing at all into the show? I guess you're not going to do any tattoos at
the
space.
No, we're not doing any tattooing there.
No. But I guess there will be a lot of tattoos to see, probably.
Yeah.
and then there's also going to be music?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. We have the Rumble King playing.
Okay.
They've been around for probably 20 years. And then a DJ, a local DJ out of Pomona. So he's going to be entertaining everybody, you know, with the band in between sets.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then that, when is the opening?
July 13th next. Not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Awesome. Okay.
It's going to be, there's actually a tattoo convention going on that weekend in Pomona.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you might get a lot of other tattoo artists from that event coming to the show.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, are you guys going to go and
We're gonna
bring some flyers and things like that?
Yeah, I'll be there Friday night doing some work, some tattoo work. So while I'm there, I'm going to take that opportunity to let people know about it.
Cool.
It's like one big tattoo shop.
That's awesome. Do you like maintain contact with a lot of different artists, tattoo artists?
Yeah, I'm always in contact with people.
Well, thanks for coming. Do you have any other questions that we should bring up?
Not really. You asked all the ones.
Okay.
Yeah, because the only one I would have asked was that I was interested a lot, really interested in, is like why you chose the cars with the tattooing, if it had like a relation, because you know, a lot of people that are into cars instead of motorcycles do get the tattoos.
Definitely into like cars. A lot of these guys. We're gonna hopefully get some of their cars over there. Some of the cars.
Oh, out in front.
Yeah, my partner Bill, they're gonna be there, and we told anybody else too that's in the show, if they have a car they want to come, just come park it in the front. So, look, the artwork you can look at as well as the cars and bikes.
Yeah.
Wheels of Steel will be on display this month at the Daw Center for the Arts, located at 252D South Main Street in Pomona. More info on the exhibitions, classes, concerts, or how to volunteer at the Daw can be found at dawcenter.org. Thanks to Cameron, Kevin, Patrick, Lex, Charlie, Yvette, Manny, and Margaret for their help with today's show. Tune back next week for more interviews and performances. This has been Daw Beat on KSPC Claremont 88.7 FM.